The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 1 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Chapter 5, Your Divine Calling and Purpose. In Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72, we learn, He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be shepherd of his people, Jacob of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, we read, Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities, that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind, he who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Devotional 1, Calling or Career? Calling trumps career. From Jeremiah 1, verse 5, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I'm very blessed and give God praise for calling me to do the work I do. My work as a speaker, executive coach, ministry leader, and author engages my deepest dreams and passions, beliefs, and core values, talents, and gifts. I embrace my work with a passion and a desire to please God every day, to honor Him with excellence, and to walk out His calling on my life. I'm often asked, How did you come to know this was God's plan for your life? I explain, I did not discover it. But that over time, God revealed it and confirmed it. The first time I remember being called, I was about 10 years old. I was sure that God was calling me into ministry. In college, I realized I had talents and skills and desires to teach. After college, I joined my mentor in a management consulting firm and traveled the world. Later, God blessed me and enabled me to start a career counseling and coaching firm. We published several books and coached thousands of individuals through the difficult time of job search and career transition. In 2009, I realized I needed more, so I cried out to God and asked Him to help me. He revealed His plans and vision for my future, teach, equip, and encourage Christians to stand on God's Word and integrate their faith and the Word into their daily lives. Suddenly, the excitement and passion returned. Like Jeremiah, I was called and set apart for a life with God. God explained that my entire career had prepared me for this calling. Yes, I am called to share the gospel. My platform is the world of business. My congregation is made up of men and women who are eager to take their faith to work. What has God called and appointed you to do? I encourage you to ask Him to turn your work into His calling. Lord, thank you for calling and appointing me as your messenger. Teach me to share your word with confidence and boldness. Set me apart for your perfect will. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 2. Find your passion. Pursue the dreams God has given you. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Have you discovered your God-given passion and calling? On a daily basis, as a career coach, I faced the reality that over half the workforce goes to jobs every day that they hate. I have met many people over the years that hate their jobs and live for weekends and vacations. This is not God's way. Work is part of God's original plan for man, and when we work God's way, well, our work becomes a form of worship and a way for us to honor and acknowledge God. As a director of a jobs ministry for a large church here in Houston, I found the most popular and requested workshop was Find Your Passion. In the session, I explained that God planted unique gifts, interests, talents, skills, and abilities in us while we were in our mother's womb. We must acknowledge them and let them out. When we affirm and give our God-given gifts, talents, hopes, and dreams, a voice or expression in our work life, then and only then, can we bring true honor and glory to God. I have observed that many people will work really hard to help someone they care about achieve their dreams while they walk in fear and ignore their own. Too often, people let significant others, parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles, teachers, or coaches, talk them out of pursuing their dreams and passions. Child of God, what passions or dreams have you held on to since childhood that you need to affirm and let out? Do not believe Satan's lies or listen to the negative feedback from others close to you. Remember, Abraham had to leave his family and friends and go to a new place where he could only hear the voice of God. I encourage you to step out in faith and to become the man or woman that God intended you to be. Lord, thank you for your gifts to me. I know that I am special, unique, and wonderfully made. Help me to discover and walk out the passions and gifts that you have given me. Help me to hear your voice and to be who you created me to be, so that I might bring you honor and glory in all that I do. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 3, Knowing God's Call on Your Life. First, who and then how. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, we read, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Self-esteem, or our identity, who I am, shapes how we define and see ourselves in relation to others and the world. Self-worth, or our innate sense of value, how I want to be treated, it shapes our needs and expectations we have of others. These two concepts explain who we are and how we want others to interact with us. Understanding a person's views on self-esteem and self-worth are critical to understanding their actions and meeting their needs. Knowing this, you have a prescription for communication and interaction. Jesus always understood a person's needs, even when they did not, and he responded to their most basic or intrinsic needs. Jesus was never too busy or in too much of a hurry to overlook the needs of others. His actions were motivated by love and compassion. Jesus looked beyond the surface or immediate needs to the deeper and eternal needs. As a Christian, we must ask the Holy Spirit to show us the who and explain the how. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we are simply incapable of meeting the deepest needs of others. With the help of the Holy Spirit, and by deciding to imitate Jesus, we can start each day by deciding to be intentional and purposeful in our interactions. We can walk in Christ-like love and compassion, change lives, and leave a mark that cannot be erased. Child of God, I encourage you to, today, decide to honor God with His call in your life. Lord, thank you for calling me into relationship. Help me to grow in wisdom and discernment, love and compassion. Jesus, guide my steps in all I do and say. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 4, From Tagline to Life's Mission, Passion, Faith, and Boldness. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it is written, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness." In 2006, the Lord began to speak to me about my work, I was clear he wanted to take me to another level and show me how to integrate my love for him and his word into my speaking engagements and executive coaching. It started with Find Your Passion, a signature talk that I created for churches and job ministries. Next, God gave me the tools to help Christians renew their minds. The tools are encounters with God that spark life-changing results in everyone who is willing to examine their daily walk with Christ. He called me to launch a motivational speaking practice and focus on ways Christians can integrate faith and work. He overhauled my presentation model. Now my talks are filled with God's Word. I was led to revise my tagline to Find Your Passion, Live by Faith, and Act in Boldness. My client calls and meetings changed as I became more confident in my new coaching model, professional reputation, and identity as a son of God. One day, as I referred to my tagline, the Holy Spirit convicted and corrected me. He told me to never think of it as just a tagline. He revealed this was not just God's assignment, but my new way of life. While I am often surprised at the things the Lord has me do and say now, I have a deep peace and desire to please God in all I do. Many times at the end of a coaching session, the Holy Spirit will say, "Ask them this." It becomes clear this issue was the reason the Lord had me there. Have you been a bold man or woman of God lately? Is it time for you to step out in faith and honor God with your work? I encourage you to ask God to reveal how He wants to use you. Remember, find your passion, live by faith, and act in boldness. Lord, thank you for anointing me with your power and might. Teach me to be pleasing in your sight and to act in boldness in all I do and say. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 5. A prophet is not without honor, their unbelief. In Matthew 13, verses 57 and 58, we read, "And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief." In this passage, Jesus comes to Nazareth, his hometown, to share the gospel and perform miracles. While the crowds were amazed at his teaching, they questioned and found it all hard to believe and accept. Their reasoning, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? We know his mother, brothers, and sisters. Where did he come up with all this wisdom and power?" Rather than accept Jesus with praise and thanksgiving, they were offended and put off. Even worse, their unbelief set a limit on the miracles Jesus was able to perform in Nazareth. As a career coach, I have seen this scene play out with hundreds of individuals. They, like Jesus, heard a calling on their life. They wanted to believe and pursue their passion and purpose. Unfortunately, those closest to them, often immediate family members, relatives, and childhood friends, took offense and rejected their dreams, ridiculed their passions, and refused to believe in them. As a result, they went to work in jobs that did not affirm their spirit, fulfill their passions and dreams. Over time, they were filled with the intense feelings of despair and dissatisfaction. Often into their 40s and early 50s, they still longed to live out their passions and walk out God's calling for their life, thinking, "If only I can find it in retirement." Leaders, managers, and supervisors play a critical role in this very human drama. You have a responsibility for the growth and development and engagement of your employees. I encourage you to listen to them, coach and mentor them, believe in them, honor them with your honest feedback and support. Help them to be all that God has called them to be. Lord, thank you for calling me into your divine purpose. Help me hear your voice and walk it out in faith and belief that I may honor you with my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 6. Will you give up sleep for Jesus? Get up, this is important. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." As we read the Gospels and look at the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus was always willing to make the required sacrifice to be in God's will for his life and to meet the needs of the people around him. We read that Jesus developed the habits of spending time in the pre-dawn hours in solitary prayer, seeking God's will. Here we see that he willingly sacrificed additional sleep, comfort, food, and companionship to spend time alone in prayer. I'm confident that as he prayed that morning, Jesus asked God what his to-do list included for the day. A few verses later, we read that rather than return to the house for fellowship and breakfast, Jesus declared his purpose for the day, to preach the gospel, and he promptly departed. I'm always puzzled when Christians talk about their desire to grow spiritually and have John 10:10 abundant lives, but are unwilling to renew their minds, adopt kingdom thinking, make the necessary sacrifices, and create the essential habits that a life of abundance requires. As I grow in my faith walk, I'm discovering that I sleep less and less. In fact, God called me to get up at 2 a.m. this morning to write this latest volume of devotionals. I seldom look at the clock anymore when I get up to read my Bible or spend time with God in my prayer garden. I know God will give me all the grace and strength and power I need, plus my marching orders for the day. I've simply decided to stand with David in agreement that an offering and life with God must cost me something, starting with a small sacrifice of sleep. How about you? Will you give up sleep for Jesus? Lord, thank you for teaching me the importance of willing sacrifice and the need for the habits of faithfulness and obedience. Help me to be willing to give all that you ask of me joyfully, including some sleep. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 7. Transitions call for spiritual shepherds, a higher stage of calling. In Jeremiah 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will give you spiritual shepherds after my own heart, in the final time, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding and judgment." Notice, Jeremiah talks about God's promise of spiritual shepherds when we face change and transition. Transition is difficult. It doesn't matter whether it happens in your professional or personal life, it's hard. In your work life, you'll experience many changes, multiple careers across diverse industries and companies, new technology, new jobs, new bosses, transfers, promotions, relocations, changes in compensation and benefits, downsizings, mergers and acquisitions. All are challenging to deal with and will take a toll on you and your family. My life has been constant change for the last 10 years. In 2006, I met Karen and we married in 2007. I moved away from my house into her home over the next 3 years. I experienced profound spiritual growth and awakening. In 2009, God called me to start a small men's ministry and lead men on the path to becoming mighty men of God. In 2010, God called me to get up in the early hours before dawn and write devotionals 6 days a week for a year. In early 2012, he told me to change the focus and direction of my coaching practice. I adopted a faith-based, Bible-focused practice to teach Christians in the marketplace how to integrate their faith into their work life. Suddenly, I was excited and energized about my professional life again. One morning I told Karen, "Honey, God has called us to be spiritual shepherds in the marketplace. He has given us new tools, books to write, messages to deliver, sermons to preach, and Christian clients who are hungry for his word and searching for ways to honor God in their work." Child of God, I encourage you to ask God if he has a transition planned for you. Yes, transitions are difficult, but during your time in the wilderness, trust God to give you spiritual shepherds to counsel, lead, guide, and pray for you. The wilderness is a place of training and preparation. Lord, thank you for being my shepherd and for calling me to be a shepherd to others. Teach me to love, to serve, and to care for the sheep that you have entrusted to me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 8, Lessons on Work from a Father, Calling and Purpose. In John chapter 8, verses 38 and 12, verses 49 to 50, we read, "I tell the things which I have seen and learned at my father's side, and your actions also reflect what you have heard and learned from your father. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority, or of my own accord, or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. And I know that his commandment is and means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say, and in accordance with his instructions." When you ask people about their first job, where and when they learned their first lessons about work, conversation usually centers on family. We often learn our basic lessons about work from our parents. As a young boy, I followed my dad wherever he went. We crawled under the car to change the oil or do repairs, climbed the ladder to install a TV antenna, and squeezed under the kitchen sink to fix a leaking faucet. We cut trees and burned trash. We went to construction sites to install electrical service, lights, and power equipment. Reading today's verse, I realized that, like me, Jesus learned critical lessons about work from his Father. You see Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 49. On the third day of their homeward journey, after celebrating the feast of the Passover, Joseph, his earthly father, and Mary discovered that Jesus was missing. They returned to Jerusalem and found 12-year-old Jesus sitting in the temple, listening and asking questions. When they asked why he did this, his answer was simple and matter-of-fact. "Why did you look for me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" The Gospels tell us that this behavior or mindset stayed with Jesus throughout his life and ministry. He was always doing his Father's business, what he saw God do and what God told him to do. Regardless of the source of your first lessons about work, I encourage you to commit today to turn to your Heavenly Father and ask Him to teach you about work. Ask Him to tell you His will, desires, and plans for your work. Ask Him what to do and how to do it. Be like Jesus and go to work on God's business. Engage your faith at work and accomplish His will for your life. Lord, thank you for the many lessons that you have taught me about work. Thank you for helping me to imitate Jesus and for giving me a spirit of excellence. Help me listen and obey instructions of the Holy Spirit so that my work glorifies and honors you. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 9. Are you an at-once believer answering the call? In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, we read, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.' At once they left their nets and followed him." I'm always struck by the sense of urgency that Simon Peter and Andrew showed in these verses. Notice the words, "at once they left their nets and followed him." It does not say that they got together and talked about it or went home and discussed it with their families. It says, "at once." Another translation says, "immediately." As a consultant and coach for many years, I've witnessed many people make sudden and dramatic changes in their life. We have a worldly expression for it. It's usually referred to as middle-aged crazy. The expression applies to both men and women who suddenly walk in and announce they want a divorce, are quitting their jobs, are starting a new life, usually with someone else. Whenever this happens, we are struck by the abruptness and dramatic level of change in the person's life. Reading this passage, I can't help but wonder if Simon Peter and Andrew's wives and family understood what had happened to them. They must have asked, "Why? What is the rush?" I'm sure they struggled to explain to their wives' satisfaction why, at once, they were leaving their business, boats, nets, and following Jesus. I greatly admire Simon Peter and Andrew's sense of obedience and sold-out faith and trust in Jesus. I must confess that I often hesitate, think about, want to pray first, and talk to Karen before I finally say yes to God. Recently, God showed me that He was calling me to a higher standard, to an at-once kind of faith and obedience, he is giving me the grace to say yes. Child of God, is Jesus calling you to make a radical change in your life? If so, I encourage you to say yes and follow him at once. Lord, thank you for showing me the power of at-once faith. Jesus, remove all doubt and fear and teach me to come to you at once, whenever you call. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 10, A New Model for Coaching, Called to Speak the Truth in Love. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, we read, Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Giving difficult and often unsettling feedback is an integral part of my job. Early on, I built a reputation for being brutally honest. I remember the first time I heard that. It really hurt, as I had hoped my clients understood my level of care and concern for them. Even now I'm grieved whenever I must deliver piercing, spirit-led truth. I explain that giving truthful feedback is essential because growth depends on it. My goal is not only to speak the truth as God instructs me, but to speak the truth in love. In 2010, God blessed me with a new coaching model which allows the Holy Spirit to take charge of interactions with my clients. We begin by praying and inviting the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our calls and meetings for God's purpose, glory, and honor. I ask the Holy Spirit to do the following things. 1. Establish the agenda. 2. Speak through me. 3. Reveal the issues that must be addressed. 4. Give me the words to say. 5. Steer the conversation as he desires. 6. Pray through me for my clients' breakthrough, healing, and deliverance. 7. Teach me how to speak the truth in love. There are times I still feel lost and don't know what to say, but I've learned to be still and cry out to God for help. With the heart of David, I ask him to come quickly, as I know I cannot do what he wants me to do without him. I'm often surprised by the conversations and outcomes, and I witness breakthroughs and deliverance at a pace that can only be explained by God's grace and power. I am quick to give God the credit for what happens and to thank him for his mercy and grace. Are you growing in Christ daily in your work and pursuing his divine calling? I encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to take charge and to coach you. He will never lead you astray. Lord, thank you for your love and for the truth of your word. Keep me in the circle of love as I speak the truth to others at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 11, A Man Carrying a Jar of Water, No Small Tasks. In Mark chapter 14, verses 13 through 15, we read, So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, say to the owner of the house, he enters. The teacher asks, Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. Most of the time, when we think of the Last Supper, we focus on the conversation between Jesus and his disciples, the washing of feet or the Holy Communion. In this passage, I'm fascinated by the intimate details of the events leading up to the Last Supper. We know Jesus enlisted at least 4 people to perform the preparations for this special time and defining moment in his life of Jesus and his disciples. Jesus used 2 disciples, Peter and John, the man carrying a jar of water and the owner of the house. The next verse tells us that they found things exactly as Jesus described them. I'm always amazed by God's ability to plan, schedule, coordinate, facilitate, and execute elaborate situations and events, down to the smallest details, to accomplish his perfect will and plans in our lives. In my own life, often, God gives me very simple instructions. Sometimes he is more detailed and specific and shares who, what, when, and where, and how. I confess that I used to wonder about the why, but I have come to simply trust God and get to work. Often, months, even years later, God will explain the why when he knows I am ready to learn and embrace this truth. As the revelation comes and I am able to look back and see God's hand at work in my life and in the lives of others, I stand in awe. I have come to cherish the times where I am able to say to God, "Oh, I see now, Lord, I get it." In those moments, I feel a deep sense of humility that I, like the man carrying the jar of water, have been used by God for his purpose, honor, and glory. Lord, thank you for your perfect will for my life. Father, your thoughts and plans are always higher and better than my own. Holy Spirit, teach me to trust you in the intimate details of life and to follow your instructions at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 12. Are you made from good clay? Yield to the Master Potter. In chapter 9 of Romans, verses 20 and 21, we read, "On the contrary, who are you, O man who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, 'Why did you make me like this?' will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use?" Over the years, certain companies have developed a reputation for shaping and molding their employees until they had that desired look or image, values, and mindset. Who can forget the IBM, Xerox, Arthur Anderson, Disney, or Chase Bank image? In this passage, Paul tells us that the shaping and molding process starts out with a mass of clay. Potters will tell you that you can't have just any clay. It must be the right clay. Good clay has three essential characteristics: plasticity or flexibility, degree of absorption, and strength. In light of this, we must ask ourselves, first, am I good clay? Am I willing to bend to the will of God? Am I flexible and pliable? Do I allow myself to be molded in God's hands? Second, what is my level of absorption? Am I hard and resistant in God's hands or soft and smooth? Do I have the necessary moisture to bend in the face of trials, challenges, and temptations? Will the sweat of battle and the tears of heartache soften my inner spirit so that I yield to the pressure of the potter's hands? And third, am I tough enough to last, to stand the test of time? Am I durable, strong, and useful, or brittle, fragile, and easily cracked and broken? Child of God, are you of good clay? Are you willing to be shaped and molded to God's specifications? Are you content to be a useful vessel or insist on being an object that sits on a shelf? Remember, in God's eyes, all of his creations are works of art, beauty, and purpose. I encourage you to submit to the Master Potter. Be willing to start off as a lump of clay and end up a beautiful vessel that can be used as the Master Potter sees fit. Lord, thank you for your loving hands and patient attention you give to every part of me. I pray you will give me a soft and supple heart and a willing spirit that I may be good clay in your hands. Shape me and mold me as you please and use my life for your will and purpose. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 13. Divine Appointments. What is your calling? In Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we read, "He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons." Notice the first two words here, "he appointed." Jesus gave the disciples divine appointments to execute his will and plans for mankind. Their faithfulness in carrying out these appointments or assignments changed the world and the fate of millions of people for all eternity. As Christians, we must come to understand that Jesus still appoints and designates. His commandments to preach the gospel to the far corners of the earth, heal the sick and cast out or take authority over demonic spirits are still in force. There is still much work to be done. On a daily basis, I meet people who have heard and responded to his call. They have said, "Yes, and accepted their divine appointment. They have surrendered their life to Him and embraced their assignment in faith with passion, dedication, and a commitment to excellence. I watch as He uses them and works through them to make a lasting mark on the world that cannot be erased. I watch as they stand in awe at what He accomplishes through them. I see how He transforms their lives daily, and they come to think, feel, speak, and act like Jesus. I see hearts, minds, souls, and spirits as they are renewed, shaped, and molded into new creations with a new purpose. Recently, I saw a man who has fully embraced his divine appointment smiling back at me in the bathroom mirror. Ask God to speak to your heart today about His divine appointment for your life. Answer His call. Put a smile on your face and His. Lord, thank You for calling me into a deep, intimate relationship with You. Help me to hear Your voice and give me an open and willing spirit for every divine appointment, large and small. Help me to trust You and submit to Your perfect will. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 14. Come and see. Refuse to listen to doubters and haters. In John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46, we read, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip was from the town of Bethsaida, and so were Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law. The prophets also wrote about him. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. There are powerful lessons to be learned here for any Christian who aspires to be a mighty man or woman of God and walk in God's power and authority. In this passage, Philip shows us foundational traits and behaviors that will be required of you. You must do these things. First, be open to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, be willing to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and turn away from the world. Three, believe in Him and follow Him wherever He goes. Four, openly confess Jesus as your Lord and proclaim Him to friends, family, and total strangers. Five, act quickly and step out on faith before Satan steps in and takes advantage of your hesitation, doubt, and fear. 6. Be willing to risk ridicule, rejection, even persecution from others. Nathanael had doubts, biases, and prejudices, and initially refused to believe. Notice Philip's response to Nathanael's doubt and questioning. He refused to be put off, debate the issue, tried to convince or explain Jesus. He boldly replied, "Come and see." Child of God, are you open to God's word and His call on your life? Are you willing to believe in Him, accept Him, and follow Him wherever He leads you? Are you willing to openly confess Him to others and risk ridicule and rejection? Are you certain and sure of who He is and who you are in Him? I encourage you to ask God to give you the faith, confidence, and boldness of Philip. Be willing to tell others that you too have found the One. Spread the good news of Jesus Christ, and be willing to say to all who doubt, "Come and see." Lord, thank You for this lesson on confident trust and expectant hope in Your Word. I'm thankful I heard Your call. Give me the willingness to confess You as my Lord to all who will listen, and the conviction to respond to all who doubt with a simple, "Come and see." Through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 15. You will become a different person. God has a new you in mind. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 and 6, we read, "Then Samuel took a bottle of olive oil, he poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, and he said, 'The Lord has anointed you to be the leader of His people. The Spirit of the Lord will come on you with power. Then you will prophesy along with them. You will become a different person.'" In 1 Samuel chapter 10, there's this accounting of the events leading up to the passage. Kish, Saul's father, a wealthy businessman focused on commerce, his family's livelihood, and the need to recover lost assets, the donkeys. Saul focused on being a faithful and obedient son, finding the donkeys. The servant focused on helping Saul, ultimately leading him to Samuel, God's prophet. Samuel focused on following God's instructions, hosting a divine appointment, delivering a message from God, and anointing Saul as king. God focused on answering the Israelites' cry for a king who would lead them and save them from the Philistines. We read that Saul left home a mere boy from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe of the Israelites, and a family that was least important in the tribe. He returned as God's anointed king and leader of his people. Saul, the timid boy who hid in the baggage at the coronation ceremony, came before all the people standing taller, more confident and powerful, with the Spirit of the Lord resting on him. In the middle of our worldly affairs and mundane activities, God steps in and rearranges things for his purpose and plans. He orchestrates people, events, and circumstances to accomplish his divine will and purpose for our lives. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to reveal his plans and purposes for your life. Be open to an encounter with God and be prepared to receive his call on your life. When God speaks in the midst of your worldly business, be willing to follow him in a new direction. Trust the power of the Holy Spirit inside you to anoint you with all the grace you need to accomplish his perfect will in your life. Like Saul, you too will become a different person as you walk out your divine destiny to accomplish God's will for your life and for the kingdom. Lord, thank you for this lesson on kingdom business and divine appointments. Help me to be ready and willing to follow your voice wherever you call me. Give me a hypersensitivity to the Holy Spirit within me, and change me into a new person who is ever pleasing in your sight. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 16, Knowing When, God's Will and His Perfect Timing. In John 3, verse 30, it is written, "He must increase, but I must decrease." We often see people in positions of power and influence struggle with the issue of knowing when to step back or step down. Sadly, many fail to do so voluntarily and are forced to relinquish their power and control. This very scenario played out a few years ago on the international political scene in the Middle East as several rulers struggled to hold on to power despite widespread civil unrest, riots, and protests. We see that John the Baptist understood his role and purpose. John's destiny as Jesus' messenger had been foretold to his father before his birth. Even though he was well-known and popular, John knew he was not the chosen one. He was the front man or opening act while Jesus was the main attraction or headliner. Headliners often use a front man. Laurel had Hardy, Andy Griffith had Barney, Lucy had Ricky, and Johnny Carson had Ed McMahon. John the Baptist's job was to get the crowd ready, to get them thinking, to encourage them to examine their lives, to soften their hearts and prepare them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Following his baptism by John, Jesus launched his ministry. It was now time for John to step down and move out of the limelight and into the shadows and give Jesus center stage. As Christians, we must all pray and ask God to reveal his will and perfect timing for our lives. Are you destined to be a front man or a headliner? Are you at a place in life where God is asking you to step back or step up? Knowing when it is the right time for either one requires you to be still so you can hear God's voice clearly. I encourage you, once you hear him, get moving. Lord, thank you for showing me your will for my life. Teach me to follow you at all times so that I may never be out of step with you. Help me to get moving and step up or step down, decrease or increase according to your perfect will. Through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 17, 300 Men Blowing Trumpets. Trust God even in foolish things. In Judges, chapter 7, verse 2, 16, and 21 and 22, we read, "The Lord spoke to Gideon. He said, 'I want to hand Midian over to you, but you have too many men for me to do that. I do not want Israel to brag that their own strength has saved them.' Gideon separated the 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet and an empty jar into the hands of each man, and he put a torch inside each jar. Each man stated his position around the camp, but all of the Midianites ran away in fear. They were crying out as they ran. And when the 300 trumpets were blown, the Lord caused all of the men in the enemy camp to start fighting each other. They attacked each other with their swords. The army ran away." This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. In chapter 6, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and spoke to him about leading the Israelite army to victory. Gideon experienced fear and doubt and tested the angel twice to see if he was telling the truth. The angel passed Gideon's tests, and he decided to trust God. Imagine the scene as God directs Gideon to send over 30,000 of his men away so Israel would see his power. Then imagine as Gideon tells his remaining 300 men that they will encircle the enemy camp with trumpets and torch-filled jars and attack the enemy by blowing the trumpets and breaking the jars. This passage of Scripture goes on to say that the enemy fled in terror and actually attacked each other as they ran. I confess that I pray to have the faith of Gideon and his men. As Christians, we need just a few sold-out, radical, mighty men and awesome women of God who will do crazy things for God. I encourage you to ask God to reveal the situations in your life where you are struggling and fighting in your own strength. Ask Him to help you turn these situations over to Jesus. Let Him direct your path. Trust Him to lead you to victory. Be willing to pick up and blow your trumpet with the expectation of a miracle. When you do, watch as your enemies and problems run from you in fear. Lord, thank you for this lesson on faith and trust. Help me to grow in my faith so that I turn to you, my only source, while abandoning all other resources. Teach me to be sold out for Jesus and to be willing to pick up my trumpet and blow my troubles away. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 18. Have you washed any feet lately? We need servant leaders. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, it says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you.'" The scene is etched in my mind. I stood in front of a room filled with presidents, CEOs, CFOs, and industry executives at a popular Houston professional networking group. My talk was entitled, "A Call to Action, Leading with a Servant Leader's Heart." My message touched on the following points: the excess and turmoil of the last two decades in the corporate world, the role that selfishness, greed, lust for power, control and wealth, pride and arrogance, contempt and disdain for others played in these situations, and the critical need for a new brand of leader, servant leaders. I continued by stressing that we need true servant leaders who lead like Jesus. Leaders who do the following. First, lead from the heart. Second, make personal sacrifices for the welfare and benefit of others. Third, are very humble, self-effacing, generous, loving, and compassionate in their relationships and interaction with others. At a critical moment in the message, I approached the audience and said, "Jesus gave us an example of this type of leader at the Last Supper." As I spoke these words, I knelt down on one knee and reached out to one of the attendees with open arms and asked her, "May I wash your feet?" As I stood and looked around the room into the faces of the audience, I posed the question, "As leaders, whose feet have you washed lately?" The astonished look on their faces was easy to read and showed that they were failing in terms of serving others. Child of God, I now ask you, whose feet have you washed lately? Lord, thank you for washing the sin away from my life. Thank you for bathing me in your love and grace. Continue to wash me on the inside and outside until I am pleasing in your sight. Teach me to lead and serve others with a clean and pure heart. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 19. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening, learning to be still. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, we read, "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Our world is full of noise. Endless sounds and voices fight for our time and attention and space in our minds and hearts. We are bombarded daily by a steady stream of messages from cell phones, calls, text messages, emails, and alerts, TV, radio, internet, social media, family and friends, business associates, and of course, Satan, the liar and accuser. With all of these messages competing for our attention, how can we hear from God? The workplace has its own noise. Many of my clients complain of the noise and distraction of 150 to 200 emails per day, a jammed calendar full of conference calls, meetings, presentations, requests, and deadlines. And with all of this going on around you, is it hard to be still? When you do stop to listen, whom and what are you listening to? The majority of my clients ask me to teach them how to be still. Why? Divine purpose and calling comes from God. You must learn to be still to hear His voice. We start by praying and inviting the Holy Spirit to participate in every call or meeting. I provide key verses and ask them to read, study, and meditate on being still before God. I teach them how to seek and find stillness. I teach them that stillness before God is the way you access the wisdom and peace of God and discover purpose and calling. At the end of our work together, many identify this as the greatest lesson they learned. Child of God, do you practice stillness? Can you recognize God's voice in the midst of all the noise and distraction? Do you hear God's voice on a regular basis? If not, I encourage you to ask God to speak to you today and listen carefully. God seldom shouts but often whispers. Be still and, like Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Lord, thank you for speaking to me and for the intimacy and tenderness of your words. Soften my heart and give me ears that will hear even the most gentle whisper. Never stop speaking to me, for your loving servant is listening. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 20. Before you were born, I set you apart, knowing what, not how. In Jeremiah, first chapter, fifth verse, we read, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." I remember God speaking to me at the early age of 10. I was certain that He called me to be a preacher. In college, I had the urge to teach and change the world. And after college, I joined my mentor in a management consulting firm and traveled the world, conducting workshops on communications, leadership, and team building. Years later, I founded a career coaching and consulting firm, published several books, and coached thousands of individuals on career transition and job search. Next, I coached and advised senior corporate executives and their teams for over a decade. Suddenly, I found myself in a place where I no longer had passion or excitement for my work as I had known it. I had changed. Now, my walk with God was the driving force in my life, and I needed to include Him and honor Him in my work. I cried out to God and asked Him to help me. He began to show me visions of my future as an author and speaker. I saw myself writing and talking to large audiences on the subject of faith and work. He gave me tools to use with my coaching clients to help them integrate their faith into their daily business lives. I watched as the excitement I felt as a 10-year-old returned. Yes, my childhood vision has been confirmed. I was called and set apart for spiritual or kingdom impact. My platform is the world of business. My audience, congregation, is made up of businessmen and women who want to renew their minds, stand on God's word, and take their faith to work. What has God called and appointed you to do? Ask Him to speak to you and reveal His vision, will, and purpose for your life. He speaks. We just have to be willing to listen. Lord, thank you for calling and appointing me for your perfect purpose. Set me apart and lead and guide me as I pursue your perfect will for my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 5, Devotional 21. He chose 12. Have you been chosen? In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, "It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles." Over the years, I've hired and terminated numerous staff and conducted training seminars for hundreds of managers and supervisors on interviewing, selection, and hiring. The hiring decision is one of the most difficult and costly decisions a leader, manager, or supervisor will ever make. Unfortunately, without the Holy Spirit, we can all make bad choices. Reading this passage, I am struck by the first sentence. Jesus spent an entire night in prayer. The next verse gives us the reason for Jesus' fervent prayer. The next day, he would make one of the most important decisions of his young ministry. He would select, recruit, and hire the 12 disciples. He was selecting his team that he would teach and lead for the next 3 years. Once he made his decisions, he would launch his ministry and lead his team on a divine mission. The fate of the world and millions of people would rest on their efforts. Given the magnitude of the decision and Jesus' habit of always going to his Father for instructions, I can readily understand why he spent the entire night talking this over with the Lord. What a conversation that must have been as they went down the long list of potential candidates and decided whom to select. I wonder what was said when they came to the name Judas Iscariot and decided that, yes, his name must be on the list. Child of God, if Jesus were making the same selection and hiring decision today, would he select your name? Has he already chosen you and called you to be on his team? Has Jesus extended the job offer, and yet you have been reluctant and unwilling to say, "Yes, Lord"? If so, I encourage you to pray and ask God to give you the courage to say yes. As is the case with every hiring decision, there is more at stake than you know. Lord, thank you for teaching me faithfulness and obedience through your Son, Jesus. Teach me to turn to you for all the decisions in my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.